Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Another interesting active week in Forex market as we head to closer and closer to the November 3 elections in the United States. A lot, of course, hinging around how the U.S. elections might affect various asset classes, including the very responsive FX space. For more on what to look forward to in the next coming weeks, here on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Philip Wee, who is the senior currency economist at DBS, to tell us what he's watching out for. Mr. Wee, thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while.
Thank you, JP.
Again, as we mentioned, there's a lot hinging around the U.S. elections, which is just around the corner. We have seen the U.S. dollar flip-flop between strength and weakness for the most part, just indicating also that there could be some volatility similar to what we saw in 2016. Based on what you're seeing right now in the Forex markets and what you're seeing with the greenback, Mr. Wee, do you think we might be in for a similar bout of turbulence for Forex markets and the U.S. dollar?
I think before you answer this, it's good to review the volatility into and after the 2016 election. So that would be a good starting point. Back then, the dollar initially appreciated almost 4% in October. And the polls were favoring Clinton victory over Trump. But all these gains were quickly surrendered in the 2 weeks before the elections, because Trump came from behind and he snatched the presidency from Clinton. But what surprised everyone was that after the elections and for the rest of the 2016, the dollar surged 8%, and that's when attention turned to Trump's stimulus and tax cuts. The U.S. economy is doing well. You know, we know that because the Fed delivered its second post-GFC rate hike in December 2016. In fact, it was so the street has turned so bullish on the dollar for 2017. But what came after that was a real surprise. You know, the dollar actually fell for the rest of 2017 in the first years of Trump's presidency. So against this background, I think we can sort of understand why the market has been fixated with the U.S. stimulus bill that is currently held up. I think the market overall has simplified things. They kept it, you know, to two main outcomes. The best case being the blue sweep. That means that the Democrats control all three, the White House, the lower house, and the Senate. But the Senate is still, I think, the hardest to call at this point, depending on which poll you're looking at. And of course, the worst case will be a contested outcome. And this is expected to create more uncertainty. So best come is a risk on, so which many have associated with a weaker dollar. But I think ever since the U.S. 10-year bond yield has gone up, this relationship has more or less been weak. Worst case is, of course, risk off and, you know, a flight into the U.S. dollar.
I think there's always a specter of uncertainty given the experiences of 2016. How are you folks at DBS advising clients to manage potential shocks or surprises with regards to the greenback and what it might do to Forex markets should the unexpected perhaps happen? Because there's always room for that, as we learned from 2016.
Yes, I think the most important thing is to, you know, highlight that these are event risks, and event risks like the elections, and of course the other big one is the Brexit and negotiations. So this is where currencies can move pretty quickly in either side. And so it's something that I think most market participants need to be wary of. So what is quite interesting, I guess, that we have seen, we've read that some of the, you know, institutions, you know, they are, you know, giving it a miss in terms of not taking really big directional bets, you know, into this key event. So I think for some of these guys, I can understand, because this year, generally, markets have the price on the upside, despite all the worries about the pandemic. So, and we're coming to the year end, essentially, why take, you know, such excessive risk? I think that's pretty much where some of the market players stand at this time.
Well, I do want to touch on the British pound later on, but let's stay with the U.S. dollar and specifically what it might mean for the Chinese yuan. We have seen policymakers in China become more tolerant of a stronger renminbi, but could this be a little too much for them given it's at its strongest levels in 2 years? And do you think that it's really just down to dollar weakness, or is there something more endogenous that's actually driving the yuan's recent strength?
I tend to spend a lot of time looking at how currencies perform against one another. I would say that the renminbi appreciation in recent months, I consider this a catch-up. You know, so to the dollar weakness that started, let's say, around June, August. You know, so, and just another thing that makes me cautious about the yuan strength around this level, you know, so I think 665, looking at it as potential support, for dollar China. Renminbi has appreciated a lot, more than 7% since May. So that's, you know, we did quite a lot within a short period of time. And I just want to bring, you know, you back to the Australian dollar. You know,
sure.
So the Australian dollar after the COVID, you know, came back really strong, you know, just like the IDR. And that's a lot to do with the fact that it was hammered the hardest. You know, so then when it came back very strongly, everyone thought that it would keep powering, you know, towards 80, but we were telling clients that it was oversold, so now it's realigning. And once it sort of goes back to where the other dollar indices are, you know, we should be going into some kind of square root, you know, formation. Mm-hmm. So, which is what it has done. It's gone sideways. It's been, you know, between roughly between 70 cents and 74 cents since late July. So we have also looked at all the post-crisis sort of recovery. And we realized that, you know, dollar weakness after the GFC, even during the dollar crisis in 2011, the global reflation trade in 2017, you know, they don't carry on indefinitely. So, mm-hmm. you know, so after a sort of period of time, you know, a lot of the reason is because the DXY's largest component is the euro. So most people tend to forget that for a weaker dollar, you need a stronger euro. And recently, you know, last few months, we noted that the U.S. data has come in a bit stronger than the Europeans. Mm-hmm. You know, so you need divergences. And at this point, say that on the economy, the Europeans probably weakened quite a bit, enough for the ECB to start thinking about paving the ground for easing in December. And the U.S. basically has a new inflation, average inflation targeting stance, so they're saying that they're not going to hike rates in the next 3 years. But growth-wise, policy-wise, I would say that the divergence, you know, is shifting back into the dollar's favor. And beyond the U.S. elections, I think we also have to remember that Germany is also headed for elections next year. Hmm. And we probably won't have, Angela Merkel is not going to be leading Germany anymore. So that's another, you know, lot of uncertainty that we have to deal with for Eurozone.
Interesting. We're still speaking to Mr. Philip Wee, the senior currency economist for DBS here on Forex Fridays. Philip, you did bring up the British pound just a while ago. The pound has also been looking very strong, especially against the euro. I want to ask you, is this a surprise? Because markets seem to be also pricing a potential Brexit deal, but based on some of the squabbling across the English Channel, it doesn't seem that sure either. Are people perhaps just getting too ahead of themselves with regards to the British pound?
Well, the reason why they like to get ahead is because I think for most of us, you know, who have been in the market for about more than 20 years, you know, you've been used to a British pound rate of above 140.
Yes.
So on a relative basis, you know, I think there's a sense that the pound is extremely undervalued. So, you know, which is why when you're positive news, it tends to bounce. Okay, but I think when it comes to when it comes to the pound direction, you do need the euro, you know, to also, you know, be strong. I think at this point, euro is sort of kept, you know, just it's kept below 120. I think we're looking at 115, 120 range. So on the Brexit talks, you know, I think I may have used this analogy before. The easiest way to understand this on again, off again Brexit talks is to, you know, assume that EU is like a country club. You know, the UK has just terminated its membership, but it wants to continue using the club facilities. So the European is saying, sure, but you must adhere to some of the club rules. So that's why you continuously see this struggle on both sides, you know, one on sovereignty and one on rules, you know. So, and it's quite interesting, right? After 4 years, you know, 4 years after the Brexit referendum, you know, so we still cannot write off, you know, the risk of a no-deal Brexit at the end of the transition period on 31st December. You know, so, but to keep things simple, if the outlook, for example, you know, it is weaker, so, and if the dollar doesn't weaken, you know, and the euro, you know, sort of goes into the lower side of the 115-120 range, then we'll be looking at 125-130 for the sterling. You know, so, but hard Brexit risk and domestic political uncertainties, you know, especially those that's being faced by Prime Minister Johnson over the handling of this of the COVID, you know, then we might, you know, see the sterling go down into a lower 120-125 range. So those are sort of the scenarios that I have in my mind.
All right. And very quickly, Mr. Rewa, we have you here, Philip. You know, I think everybody wants to know what your outlook is on the Thai baht. Of course, all the ongoing demonstrations and uncertainty out in Thailand for the most part. How much longer do you think will this weigh on the currency, which has been showing signs of trying to recover, pick itself up in the last, 48 hours?
Okay, maybe it's easier if, you know, we look at the protests and then we see through the markets. I would say that most of the negative impact, you know, is felt mostly in the Thai stock market. Mm-hmm. So the set index is down by, you know, about 16% from its peak in June. But, you know, the Thai baht, I think we all know, has been relatively stable in a tight 31-32 range against the dollar, and also since July. But, you know, given that we had a weak dollar during this period, so on a relative basis, you know, baht has weakened, you know, basically on a trade-rated basis. Okay, but if you look back in the two experiences, you know, let's say in 2006, you know, when we had a Thai military coup that removed Thaksin as prime minister, the baht was strong. But then the coup that removed his sister, Yingluck, in 2014, the baht was weak. You know, so what's the difference? You know, dollar was weak in 2006 because RMB just depegged, and that ushered in a strong Asian growth story. And in 2014, dollar was strong because we have monetary policy divergences. We have a weak yen from Abenomics, oil crash, and ECB was preparing for QE. At the same time, when you know the Fed was preparing for its first hike in 2015. So the global environment at the end of the day, like many of the Asian currencies, I think is still very important for the Thai baht. So I would say that I would put the Thai baht together with what we see, you know, for, let's say, dollar Sing, euro, and, you know, dollar China, that at some point after this realignment, you know, we'll probably be in a sort of consolidative phase.
I'd like to thank Philip Wee, Senior Currency Economist at DBS, for spending some time with us today on Forex Fridays to lay out his outlook for the Forex space heading into the November elections and also his outlook on the Thai baht. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time we can have you back on the show, sir. In the meantime, have a great weekend ahead.
Thanks very much, JP. Always a pleasure to be here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.